I am so glad you're here. Good morning, everybody. What a treat to see you. You look terrific. And I have a brand new joke for you. So this chainsaw salesman discovered some untapped, untouched territory back in the hills where people were still cutting their limber, that's a cross between timber and lumber, in case you want to know, cutting their lumber with handsaws. And so he thought, boy, I'm going to sell a lot of chainsaws. So he went from door to door saying, I'm going to leave this chainsaw here. I'll come back tomorrow and tell me what you think. So he went back the next day to the first house, knocked on the door, and the fellow said, well, I'd use that chainsaw all day, but to tell you the truth, I do better with my handsaw than with your chainsaw. I cut more trees just using my handsaw. And the salesman thought, there must be something wrong with the chainsaw. He said, let me see it. And he took it and he, boom, 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 boom. And the fellow said, what's that noise? It's a pretty good joke, but it gives me an excuse and an entree to ask you this question. Is there any power of which you're not making, of which you're not availing, that you're not taking advantage of? Could it be there's some energy, some strength, some capacity, some ability that God has for you that you're just not using? That's a theme that surfaces as we study what we're studying this fall. Travis and I are leading the church through a conversation about the Holy Spirit. And if you're a guest today, let me tell you what we're doing. We're looking at these different word pictures, metaphors of the Holy Spirit that He gives us Himself to help us understand who He is. Like the wind of God, the fire of God, the breath of God, the gentle dove of God. Today, this metaphor I find especially instructive. We're going to look at the Holy Spirit as the anointing oil of God. Let's pray together, and then we'll get to work. These people, Father, these precious souls have entrusted me with a few minutes of their life. May I be a good steward. Speak, Father, if not through me, even in spite of me. And forgive the speaker, Lord, his sins are many. Help us to see Christ, just Christ. Through Christ we pray. And all the church said, a few years ago, I came home one day to the most delightful fragrance. I walked in the house and this smell was coming at me out of the house. I followed it back in the house and into the kitchen, and there was Dina Lynn, my wife, and I said, honey, I smell something wonderful. What is it? Well, she was impressed that I even detected it because I typically don't notice things. She's writing a book called I Married a Caveman because I have a detailed detection malfunction going on. She can reorganize the furniture, and if she doesn't give me a heads up, I'll sit down where there used to be a chair and land on a coffee table. And some of you wives are elbowing your husband right now, aren't you? I just don't notice things. But that day I did, and I said, honey, what's that fragrance? It wasn't food because she wasn't cooking. It wasn't perfume because she doesn't wear it. So what was that? I was like a Labrador trying to sniff it out. It smelled like a forest on a cool fall morning, kind of musty and moist. No, maybe that's not it. It smelled like some of these grocery stores have these spice areas. And when you walk past, you can pick up on the fragrance of these spices. But that wasn't it either. There was a touch of liniment in the fragrance. I just couldn't detect the source. Finally, I said, honey, did you buy a bag of bark? She said, no. What you're smelling oils. Oils. Well, I'm the son of a mechanic, and so I get oil. I said, am I smelling Valvoline? That doesn't smell like Valvoline to me. And she said, no, no, I'm talking about oils. And she opened up a bag that had these small bottles. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but you can buy these oils. And these bottles were labeled with everything from lavender to myrrh to cassia to spikenard to cinnamon to sandalwood. You'd have thought she befriended a fella merchant or something in the backwoods of Jerusalem, because she had all these oils. She said, I've been diffusing it into our house. I've been diffusing these oils into our house. Turns out she'd been putting some on her skin. She said, I even put some drops in my water to drink. And she said, I've been putting some drops in yours. Well, the caveman had not noticed. You know, she's not alone in her appreciation of oils. Many of you probably appreciate them. I've come to learn that they are the oldest, the most ancient natural health product. That for thousands of years, people all over the world have been extracting these liquids from everything, from flowers and fruits and herbs. Apparently they help us a lot. They help us sleep. They help us digest. They help us relax. They help us stay awake in sermons. Do these oils really help? Well, I'm not an expert, but do these oils instruct us? Yes, they do. In fact, you can bet your sweet cinnamon they do. Did you know that there are 200 references in the Bible to oils? And many of these references are metaphors. They're symbols in which the oil is a symbolic representation of the Holy Spirit. Let me give you some examples. You may remember from the life of King David, when he was anointed to be king, the story went like this. Samuel took the flask of olive oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil, and the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. Do you see the connection between the anointing oil in the presence of the Holy Spirit? Not only were kings anointed with oil, prophets were as well. Here's an example from the book of 1 Kings. Elijah was told to anoint Elisha, the son of Shaphat, from the town of Abel-Meholah. You say it. I don't know. Abel-Meholah, to replace you as my prophet. So prophets were anointed as well. So were priests. Here's an example of Moses being told by God, clothe your brother Aaron and his sons with these garments, and then anoint and ordain them, consecrate them so they can serve as my priests. Look at these words, anoint, ordain, consecrate, all in one phrase. Even the utensils used in the Holy of Holies were to be anointed by oil. Cleanse the altar by purifying it, making it holy, and anointing it with oil. Of course, the greatest example is the message of Jesus when he began his ministry. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Spirit of the Lord anointed. What I want you to see is this interplay, this free interchange between words like consecrate and dedicate and oil and anointed and the Spirit of the Lord. They're all back and forth, in there together, helping us to see that one of the word pictures used in the Bible for the presence of the Holy Spirit is nothing other than oil, anointing oil. In the days of the Bible, God would anoint his people with oil as a picture of the Holy Spirit. Nothing has changed. In our day, God still anoints his people with the Holy Spirit. Look at this passage from the book of 2 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul is writing this. He said, now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us. He anointed us. He set his seal of ownership on us and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. When you gave your heart to Christ, he gave his Spirit to you, and he anointed you. He anointed you. He anointed you not with the oil that a person might purchase at a grocery store or at a pharmacy, but he anointed you with the Holy Spirit. He covered you. He drenched you. He anointed you with the Holy Spirit. God has chosen to pour his Spirit out upon you. Your life has been consecrated. It's been dedicated. It's been imbricated with the Spirit of God. Was this not the promise of God? God gave this promise. And in the last days, that's where we are now. We're in the final era of history. So in these last days, it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. I think that verb pour deserves a highlighter. He comes to anoint us, not with a drop, not with a splash, but he will pour out his Spirit on all flesh. That includes you and that includes me. What he told Moses to do with Aaron, God wants to do with us. The instruction of God to Moses was, you shall take the anointing oil and pour it on his head and anoint him. I want to talk to you for just a minute about this fact that Aaron was drenched in oil. Aaron was drenched in oil. Now, to understand this, what is happening, you need to let your fingers take you back to the book of Exodus. You need to let your imagination take you into the wilderness, and you need to let your mind go into that era of history about 1300 BC. In which 2 million former slaves of Egypt are now released out of Egyptian bondage. 40 years of wilderness wandering has begun. They will soon occupy the promised land. But before they do, God wants to turn them into a civilization. That he speaks to them. The reason that the book of Leviticus is so full of laws and customs is because God was really teaching these people how to be, how to exist as a culture. He talks to them about everything from dietary laws to what to wear to how to, you know, protect themselves from predators. And he also talks to them about worship. He instructs them to build a tabernacle. The tabernacle is a foreshadowing of the temple, and he talks to them about preparing the priests to serve in that tabernacle. Now, the clothing they wear is very elaborate. The utensils they use are very specific. But of interest to us is what God told Moses to do with Aaron, the high priest. He's the first ever high priest. And the instruction about anointing Aaron is very instructive to us about anointing oil. Look at this paragraph. God told Moses, take the finest spices, 12 pounds of liquid, what? Myrrh. Half that amount, that is 6 pounds of sweet-smelling cinnamon, and 6 pounds of sweet-smelling cane, and 12 pounds of cassia. This sounds like he's been talking to my wife. It's all these oils. Weigh all these by the holy place measure, and also take 4 quarts of olive oil. Mix all of these things like a perfume to make a holy oil. When I read this paragraph, I went to the oil expert in our house, and I asked her, my wife, I said, honey, let's create this. Wouldn't this be fun? Let's replicate this recipe. And she gave me that I married a caveman look. She said, do you know how expensive this would be? She said, do you have any idea how much myrrh costs? Well, I did not, but I looked online. The going rate is $25 an ounce. So if my math is right, what Moses was told to do and did involve $3,000 worth of myrrh. Still, I wanted to give it a go. Maybe not with actual myrrh, but I wanted to see how much ordaining oil was used on Aaron that day. So I recruited our production team. And this is no small thing for them to figure out, because you'll notice that the paragraph here talks about pounds and then quarts. And so they had to come up with exactly how we were going to measure this. And so instead of pounds, we're using gallons. And it would look something like this. It's about, what's called for in that recipe is about 6 gallons of oil. 6 gallons of oil that was poured on Aaron. You don't look surprised enough for me. I'm thinking this is a pretty significant thing. You know, in a football game, if a coach wins a game, toward the end of the game, somebody might come up with a water cooler full of Gatorade and dump it on him. This is even more. So Aaron, the first ever high priest, he was soaked. He was drenched. And that included 1 gallon of myrrh. That's a lot. 3/4 of a gallon of cinnamon. And then 3/4 of a gallon of cane. And then 1 gallon of cassia. And then 4 quarts of olive oil. And they were to all be mixed together and used for only this purpose. There was no other purpose. It had to be used for anointing the instruments as well as the high priest, in this case, Aaron and his sons. Now, we are not told exactly how much got put on Aaron and how much was put on the instruments, but I'm thinking that a lot was poured out for a couple of reasons. Look at this little phrase tucked in the book of Exodus, that God said that these instruments that surrounded the Ark of the Covenant were to be soaked in holiness. Isn't that a great phrase? They were soaked in holiness. And then when it comes to Aaron, there's this reference in the book of Psalms, of all things, using Aaron's day of anointing as a picture of harmony. The psalmist says, "For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head, that, ran down his beard and onto the border of his robe." He was soaked. I'm thinking that his skin was glistening. I'm thinking that he had to clean out his eyes just to be able to see. I'm thinking that it ran all the way down his robe, and everywhere he went, he was leaving oily footprints. I'm thinking that his wife said to him, "I could smell you coming a block away." He was drenched in oil. And this drenching was very significant, because not only did it change his fragrance, but it symbolized his authority and his assignment, because the passage or the assignment was anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them. What's consecrate mean? To set apart as holy. To set apart as holy for a specific purpose. So consecrate them so they may serve me as priests. So they were given this special assignment. Aaron and his sons, they were drenched in oil, they were consecrated, and they carried upon them God's special favor. They bore this unique fragrance, this unique responsibility. Can you imagine how they must have felt? I so hope you can. Because something even greater has happened to you. You see, Aaron was drenched in oil, but you are covered by the Spirit. Do you know what happened to you the day you gave your life to Christ? Do you understand what happens when someone says yes to Christ, when they believe in Christ? Yes, you are covered by God's grace. Yes, the tent of God's sovereignty is spread over you. Yes, the pathway to heaven is laid out before you. But yes, 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 and triple yes, you are drenched in the power in the presence of the person of the Holy Spirit. We know this for many reasons, many scriptures, but one in particular helps. It's in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. AMP means the Amplified Version of the Bible. It deserves a spot on your shelf. The Amplified Version of the Bible is a Bible that has offers parenthetical explanations, kind of a running commentary. As you're reading the verse, there are these parentheses that help you understand what that scripture says. For example, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20, "For you have an anointing from the Holy One." What does that mean? You have been set apart, specially gifted, and prepared by the Holy Spirit. That's you. You have an anointing from the Holy One. And all of you know the truth because He teaches us, illuminates our minds, and guards us from error. What a helpful verse. You have been anointed with a special gift from the Holy One. Like Aaron, you have been set apart for a special assignment. And like Aaron, you did not receive just a few drops upon you, but you have been drenched. Look at this statement from the Gospel of John. God gives the Spirit, how, church? Without limit. He doesn't come at us with an eyedropper. He doesn't come at us with a teaspoon. He's not Scrooge. He doesn't parcel out His Spirit just tiny here. It's not like there's only so much to go around. There's ample. And He pours it out upon us. Oh, how I desire that you know that you have been covered and drenched. And even now, you have the Holy Spirit upon you, inside of you, soaking you. If only we would, boom, 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 boom. If only we would learn to trust the presence of the Spirit. How do we do this? Well, two ideas, and then I'll be done. Number one, can I encourage you to accept your new identity? Accept your new identity. You know, when Aaron and his sons went home that day from that special anointing, they knew they were different. They knew that no one else in that vast crowd of 2 million pilgrims was like them. Do you know that you are different? You are different. That God has placed His favor upon you. You smell different. You look different. That when heaven looks down upon you, heaven sees a child that has been purchased, a heart that is treasured, and a person that is being prepared for an eternal service in the kingdom of God. Do you know how special you are? I'm speaking to some people who've been beaten up in life. The world has been hard on you. You've been the victim of jokes. You've been mistreated. You've been relegated to the side. You've been marginalized. But God counters all of that with teachings like this that say you're special in His sight. Would you please accept your new identity? God does not measure your value by the number of followers you have on the internet. Your identity is not defined by the square footage of your house or the size of your waist or the number of diplomas on your wall or the absence of pimples from your face. Your identity is defined by the simple fact that He knows you, He loves you, He cherishes you, and listen to me, He indwells you. He must think you're really special if He's going to place the Holy Spirit within you and you're going to serve as a modern-day temple of the Holy Spirit. Receive this identity. Receive it. Let it bless you. Let it define you. Let it motivate you. You have the presence of God within you. So receive this. And then secondly, as you accept your identity, engage your new ability. You get tired, but the Holy Spirit never does. You have questions, but the Holy Spirit has answers. You feel limited, but there's no limit to the Spirit. You don't know what the future holds, but the Holy Spirit is as much in tomorrow as He is in the present. So you have access to this wonderful power within you. You don't have to climb a mountain. You don't have to perform a holy chant. You don't have to learn to do spiritual somersaults. He is there. He is there. And God's prayer for you is exactly the prayer that the Apostle Paul offered for the church in Ephesus. He said, I pray the Father in his great glory to give you the power to be strong inwardly through the Holy Spirit. It is not God's will that we limp our way through life, that we just lurch as anemic souls from one day to the next. He wants you to be powerful, strengthened by the inward self. Some of us are old enough to remember the invention of something called a people mover. Do you remember the first time you ever saw a people mover? Usually in airports. There are these moving sidewalks. You're looking at me like I'm the only one who's ever seen a people mover. You know what I'm talking about, right? These rubberized sidewalks. Yeah, they weren't always around. And I can recall back in the 1980s, late in the 1980s, maybe about 1990, was the very first time I'd ever seen one. I was traveling and I went through Dallas-Fort Worth Airport and I was walking down a concourse. Really, I was slugging my way down a concourse. I remember being very tired. I had a shoulder bag and a briefcase and I was walking along and I looked over and these people were passing me and they weren't even walking. Can you believe that? They were going faster than I was, and they were just standing there. Some of their bags were on the ground. Some of them were still holding their bags. And a few of them were walking, and boy, were they going fast. I thought they were jet-propelled. They were going to take off any minute. And I stopped, and I said to myself, how could this be? What is that? Have they discovered the yellow brick road? And I leaned over that banister area, and I looked and I saw that moving sidewalk. It was moving. It carried them. And they could either stand there and still move forward, or they could walk and they would move even faster. So I found an access point. And I thought, you mean all you got to do is step up there and it's going to carry you? I didn't know whether I should do it or not. I didn't know if you had to go through training, if you had to have a token, if it was just for special people. I didn't know if maybe it was a trick and these were being, people were being abducted by aliens and they just didn't know it. I didn't know what to do. And I had to make a decision. So I could either go back to my old way and slug my way down the concourse, weary and tired, or I could take a chance. I could, put my foot out. I didn't know if I'd fall over or what, but I thought, okay, I'm going to give it a go. Oh, what wonder awaited my weary feet. It was spectacular. You ought to try it sometime. It is phenomenal. I put my bag down and I kept moving. And then I decided I'll walk and I lifted up my bags and boy, I had a strut. I was making progress. Every step I took was amplified and magnified and expanded by the people mover. That's a picture of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to carry all these burdens. And you don't have to make this walk under your own power. You don't have to be so weary. He will help you. He will. You don't have to wait on some day in the future, some event. When you gave your life to Christ, he gave his Spirit to you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you've been drenched in the Holy Spirit? Some of you are struggling right now. You're thinking, yeah, that's right for such and such. Oh, yeah, my aunt so-and-so, my grandma was, but me, no. Yes, you. Yes, you. You have everything you need to be the person God wants you to be. You have everything you need to be the person God wants you to be. It may just fall to you to take that step. How do you take this step? Well, for some of you, it means becoming a Christian. You never said yes to God. You never accepted the forgiveness that comes through Jesus Christ. You never called him your Savior. This gift of the Holy Spirit is given to Christians. It's given to people who say yes to Christ. So for some of you, just say yes to Christ. Don't walk this journey by yourself. This gift is available to all people. That was the promise. God said, I will pour it out on all people. But some people don't want the gift of the Spirit. I can't imagine why they would not. Say yes to Christ. And then engage in this power and in your new identity. For example, what's a problem you're facing right now? What is a particular issue that's really troubling you? Maybe something at work or a relationship problem or maybe even a temptation. Why don't you take this and invite the Holy Spirit to help you? Just say, Lord, help me. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. And go into great detail about what this is. The Holy Spirit loves to talk to you. We can pray in the Spirit, talk to the Spirit, and he will help you. Try this out. Or talk to the Holy Spirit. Maybe this would be something for you to think about. Say, Holy Spirit, what's my anointing? What's my unique anointing? I see what you did with Aaron. I see what you're doing with other people. Do you have an anointing for me? What's my assignment in life? And he will tell you. And then you can begin to live out of this anointing and follow the Holy Spirit as he leads you through life. You know, the truth of the matter is we don't know exactly how much oil was poured out on Aaron, the first high priest. But I'm happy to report that we do know exactly how much was poured out upon our high priest, Jesus Christ. Did you know that after he was crucified, oil was applied to him? His body was lowered from the cross and taken to a place where his body could be prepared for burial. Tucked away in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, is this interesting detail about two followers who came bringing a mixture of, look, myrrh and aloes, about how much? 100 pounds. 36 pounds over here. 100 pounds for our high priest. This special mixture of oils and aloes was applied to him, and his body was wrapped in burial garments, and he was placed in the grave. But we all know what happened. The grave could not hold him. And he stood up on Sunday morning and he walked out. And Peter and John were among the first to enter the grave, the burial chamber, after he exited. And I'm thinking they could smell it in the air still, the presence of oil. I'm thinking that the ladies who saw the resurrected Christ could smell the presence of the oil that anointed their high priest. And I'm wondering, maybe my imagination is getting carried away. But I'm wondering if after those 40 days on earth, when he ascended into heaven, if he didn't take the fragrance of that oil with him. And in heaven now, our high priest, indwelling that place where there is no decay, where there is no decomposition, maybe when we see him, we will smell the oil of our high priest. Could it be that that Friday night preparation was the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon Christ as he ascended into his new assignment to be our high priest forever at the right hand of God, interceding for us? You're a part of his family. You're a part of his family. This week, may the Holy Spirit bring to your awareness and to mine a sense that we are drenched in the power of the Holy Spirit. May everywhere you go, people detect your holy fragrance. And may you, as you look behind you, see oily footsteps, presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, this is our prayer, that we could be aware of the gift that you have given to us. Through Christ we pray. Amen.